In a new video, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says that the Democrat nomination process is completely rigged and that he himself is going to have to, quote, look at alternatives for his candidacy for president of the United States. Now, we all knew this moment was coming, by the way, because the Democrats will never let an honest process take place for the nomination of their candidate. And sadly, I think RFK Jr. has also known that his party is corrupt, but perhaps he didn't realize the depth of the corruption. You know, the Democrats today, the Democrat Party, what it represents today is criminality, fraud, deception, the destruction of America. The Democrat Party hates America and hates Americans. They also hate whites and Asians, by the way, and they certainly hate Christians. And they believe in censorship and authoritarianism. And they also worship Big Pharma and vaccines and masks and Fauci. So, you know, look, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. stands in opposition to every single thing that the Democrat Party stands for today, except perhaps on the climate issue, where he, I believe, he still shares some of the Democrat delusions about carbon dioxide. Now, look, for the record, I want to say I admire Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I think he's an American hero. He's a very courageous individual. His ideas are mostly right on. I do disagree with him on, you know, some climate and energy policy issues and so on. But his views are also, I think, evolving in those areas as well. And the bottom line is, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., whether you agree or disagree with him, he's a real person who really genuinely loves America. He's compassionate. He literally wants to help save children from exposure to toxic heavy metals like, you know, mercury and lead and so on. And I share all of those goals with him and those values. We have to clean up the pollution of our world. It's just, I think we should focus on, you know, actual pollution rather than carbon dioxide. That's my view. But we've all known this whole time that no matter how strong his showing, and he's done an amazing job with his campaigning, that he was going to, at some point, butt heads with the corrupt criminal cartel, which is the DNC, the Democrat establishment. And they control the superdelegates, and the superdelegates basically choose their next candidate. It's a coronation. It's not a nomination. It's not an election. The Democrats despise the will of their own people. Just like Democrats in power right now federally, they despise the will of the American voters. They don't care about the people. It's all an act with Democrats. It's just fraud. It's theater. They pretend to care about people in order to gain power over people. And they rig every process. And it burns me when RFK Jr. refers to Joe Biden as President Biden. Joe Biden's not the president. Joe Biden's a crook who was shoved into office by a bunch of other crooks who rigged the 2020 election. Joe Biden's not the president at all. He's a criminal in chief. He's a pretender. But I think also RFK Jr. knows that. He's just, he can't say that publicly at the moment. So anyway, when RFK is looking at now alternatives, what might those be? And as far as I can tell, there are only two viable alternatives that he could consider, one of which is to run as an independent, which could be rather disastrous, not for Biden, but for Trump. And the other option is to run as Trump's vice president, something that RFK Jr. has sworn that he would never do because he vehemently disagrees with Trump on many, many issues. And I believe him when he said that, by the way. I believe that he's genuine about that he will not run as the vice president of Donald J. Trump. Although, I think that would be the best option, personally. But then again, it's not my decision, is it? So if he runs as an independent, which increasingly looks like the option here, he could be the spoiler that hands the election to Joe Biden. Why? Well, because Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is taking votes away from Trump supporters, not from Democrats. See, Democrats aren't going to vote for an independent, and Democrats aren't going to vote for somebody who is exposing the fraud of Big Pharma because Democrats love their jabs. They love their masks. They love their poison. And Bobby Kennedy has also said he'll protect the border and he won't confiscate firearms, that, you know, he'll protect the Second Amendment. I mean, he's said these things, and whether or not he makes good on those one day if he's in power, the Democrats hate those kinds of promises. The Democrats want open borders. They love America being invaded. And the Democrats, they hate the First Amendment. They hate the Second Amendment. They won't vote for RFK Jr. as an independent. But quite a few Trump supporters will, you see. Because RFK Jr., he attracts a lot of Trump people who are strongly opposed to Fauci and the vaccines and all the Big Pharma nonsense and the COVID nonsense and you know, all of that stuff. So he will actually bring across probably just enough Trump voters to hand Biden or whoever the Democrats shove into place there to hand them the win. In other words, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. could be the Ross Perot of 2024. And that was infuriating, the whole Ross Perot situation in, what was that, 92, I believe. And, you know, Ross Perot was a spoiler. Now, Ross Perot was right about almost everything. That giant second sound, he was right about that. NAFTA and all the free trade agreements, all that stuff, it was all pointing to globalism. He was 100% correct about that. But he couldn't, there's no way to get elected as an independent in this two-party dominated system. There's no way. The corporate media will attack you from both sides. You know, the Republicans and the Democrats will attack you. So to try to run as an independent is a pointless exercise if you actually want to become president. The only thing that you might accomplish is participating in the debates, which admittedly, that does count for something. And frankly, I think it would be wonderful to hear RFK Jr. in the presidential debates because he would be a voice of truth and he would be a voice of reason, I think, on most issues. And I think a voice of courage. So I love the idea of him being in the debates, but I don't love the idea of him taking away votes from Trump. Now, Trump, of course, is the presumed nominee for the Republican Party, which, of course, causes the heads of Rhino Republicans to explode. They can't stand Trump. You know, the Bushes and the neocons and all these corrupt tyrants. They hate Trump, and they hate the American people, just like the Democrats hate the American people. And they see Trump as a threat to their control over, you know, whatever sectors of government they still control. But remember, the Republicans love to lose. They're losers. I'm talking about the establishment people, the rhinos, the Mitch McConnells, you know, the Kevin McCarthys and so on. They love to lose and they love to play that role as the loser. And you know why? You know why they love to lose? Because when they're not in power, they can talk like the big man when they're fundraising letters. Oh, if you give us more money, we're going to close the border. You know, we're going to shut down the FBI. We're going to arrest all the corrupt, treasonous officials. Yeah. All you got to do is give us more money, and then when we win, when we're in power, we're going to get things done, right? It's all bullshit. Because when they have power, they don't do anything. They back off. They say, oh, we can't rock the boat. Yeah, we can't do anything. We have to be bipartisan. Yeah. That's the whiny Republicans in the Senate and the House for the most part. I know there are exceptions to that, like, you know, Jim Jordan and others, Rand Paul, Senator Paul. But, you know, by and large, the Republican rhinos, you know, I even said, look, they're perfect for colonizing Mars. You know why? Because whereas most astronauts suffer bone density loss in the zero gravity travel during, you know, in space, the rhino Republicans will have no such problems because they have no spines. They won't suffer any bone density loss because they have no bone density. They have no bones. They are losers. So here's what's going to have to happen, probably. This is my guess of how this plays out. Yes, the Democrats, they block RFK Jr. because they have to protect their corrupt puppet, Joe Biden. And it's very sad. And yeah, the Democrats are a bunch of criminals. RFK Jr. then ends up running as an independent. And when that day comes, I predict he's going to actually lose a tremendous amount of support from current Trump supporters or current conservatives, because they're going to realize the same thing I'm realizing right here. And they're going to say, well, you know what? We can't let an independent candidate spoil this whole thing. So we all got to go pro-Trump, all in for Trump at this point. And that's probably the way it's going to go. Now, by the way, don't forget that Dr. Shiva is also running as an independent. And I interviewed Dr. Shiva recently. And, you know, Dr. Shiva is a brilliant man, also very courageous, also tip of the spear on so many of these issues, including censorship and so on. You know, Dr. Shiva is a force to be reckoned with, and I admire his successes and his courage. And I think that Dr. Shiva, by the way, would be a very powerful and profound positive influence on America in whatever office he might one day serve. But, running as an independent, it's the same problem that we're talking about here. You can't win in America as an independent. And if Dr. Shiva were to get some votes by being on the ballot, those votes would most likely come out of the Trump camp, because Dr. Shiva, you know, appeals to people who can think for themselves. And those aren't Democrats. You know, those are all conservatives. You know, remember, Democrats are just herd followers. That's why they all mask up and get the jab. You know, they're sheeple. They just do whatever they're told. A bunch of obedience followers, you know? I mean, they fail the cosmic IQ test of being human and being able to think for yourself. But conservatives, they do tend to think for themselves, and they tend to evaluate candidates. And for some of them, you know, Dr. Shiva might appeal to them, or RFK Jr. might appeal to them. And frankly, also, you know, Ramaswamy is appealing to quite a few conservatives right now. Although there are, of course, big questions about his history, his ties to Big Pharma, and, you know, where all this money came from that he's using to run now, and things like that. Questions that have been raised by Clay Clark and others. So there are still questions about a lot of those people. There are even questions about Trump, and I have some of those questions too, right? So there's no perfect candidate in any of this. Hey, Trump did at least recently come out and say that Big Pharma is hiding vaccine safety data and they should come out and go public with it. That's the first time Trump has ever said that. That's the first time that Trump has taken a swing at Big Pharma, at least that I can remember. And my main complaint about Trump has been that he seems to be in bed with Pfizer and the pharmaceutical cartel complex. And, you know, frankly, I have a hard time supporting Trump unless he denounces Operation Warp Speed and Big Pharma and all these vaccines and the harm that's been caused by them. Because I don't want to vote for a guy that gets back in the White House and then says, oh, guess what? Operation Warp Speed 2.0. No, no, thank you. That's not what I'm voting for. But then, by the way, to add some color and context to all of this, Dr. Shiva says, well, they're all puppets. He says Trump's a puppet. He says Ramaswamy is a puppet. He says Bobby Kennedy, who he calls Booby Kennedy, you know, in a little bit of mockery there. He says that Bobby Kennedy really just represents, you know, the corrupt Kennedy family and so on. And you know, Dr. Shiva had some very, very harsh words for all these other candidates, which, I mean, whether you agree or disagree with what he said, there is one point about what he's saying that I do agree with, and that is that there's no one person that can solve these huge problems that America is facing. You know, even let's say if RFK Jr. somehow won the election and became president, I would feel so sorry for him. I mean, I would be, at one level, I'd be thrilled that we got somebody in the White House who's, you know, a real person, a genuine American. But on the other hand, I would feel so sorry for him because the task is insurmountable. How do you unwind layer upon layer of corruption and fraud and collusion and money laundering and money printing? And by the way, you know, one of Bobby Kennedy's ideas that he put out there recently, which is that the government should guarantee a 3% mortgage for all Americans who want to buy a home. Now, I got to say, it's the worst economic idea ever. It just runs completely counter to the principles of free market economics. And it's a tendency of Democrats to think that, you know, the government should always jump in and guarantee easier money and easier home loans. It just completely contradicts the principles of Austrian economics. You know, I'm a little bit disappointed that RFK Jr. would promote such a thing. Because you know how that program would work, right? Sure, you get a 3% home loan from the federal government as long as you're gay or trans or black. But if you're white or you're Asian, or if you criticize transgenderism, oh, guess you don't get the discount loan. No, do you? It'll be used as a weapon system of control, a social engineering system, and it'll also create another housing bubble. You know, Big Short 2.0. Of course it will, because the government will hand out loans, 3% loans, to people who are not qualified to own homes. They can't make the payments. You know exactly how this is going to go. So, you know, it's a crazy idea to put the government in the business of guaranteeing home mortgages yet again. Haven't we already gone through that with the bankruptcy of, what was it, Fannie Mae and the 2008 subprime mortgage collapse and then the giant multi-trillion dollar bailouts? You know, trying to bring that back, that's insane. It just goes to show you, you know, people can be really strong on many, many issues, and then out of the blue, they can have this, like, crazy idea that suddenly puts the government in charge of your life again. And that's the opposite of what we want. We need smaller government, obviously. We need government out of our lives. We need to end the damn money printing, for one thing. If you want more home ownership among the American people, stop printing money. Stop the inflation machine. Let people keep the money they earn. And frankly, almost everybody would be wealthy, because they're being systematically ripped off and pillaged by the central banks and the money printing policies. And you know, the whole war in Ukraine, the war with Russia, and all the $100 billion plus that the U.S. is sending over there, man, that doesn't go to the Ukrainian soldiers. It doesn't go to Ukraine. It goes to all the corrupt Pentagon officials and senators and State Department officials and all the corrupt Washingtonians that live in Virginia and are making money off the military-industrial complex. It's all one giant racket. And it's all just printed money that's effectively stolen from everybody else. That's why the American people are living in poverty. It's not because, you know, home mortgage rates are too high. It's because the money printing is stealing from everybody in order to prop up the military-industrial complex and Big Pharma and all the other scams that are running loose across this country. So, you know, I expect anybody who's going to be president to understand the core economics of what drives poverty. And frankly, it's money printing and taxation and government confiscation and theft. That is what drives poverty in America. So bottom line, folks, yeah, there's no perfect candidate. There's not even a candidate that can probably even turn this around. Probably, most likely, what Dr. Shiva said is correct. The United States of America collapses. And what Ed Dowd told me in an interview, the cities become, they collapse until they're run by warlords. And you just have the total collapse of the rule of law. You have the collapse of the financial system. And you just have chaos and lawlessness and violence just running rampant across the country. And then you have massive depopulation, which of course has been the goal of the globalists this whole time. And then the United States of America breaks up into a bunch of smaller countries. That's probably where this is headed. So maybe we should be thinking about not who's going to be the president of the United States, but who's going to be the president of Texas, the Republic of Texas. You know, who's going to be the president of, I don't know, what do you call it, the Jeffersonian state of like rural Oregon, Washington, and California, and maybe Idaho, who knows? Maybe Wyoming joins, I'm not sure, but we're probably going to be broken up into different nation states. And we need to be thinking about money and currency and gold-backed currencies and free trade and small government and local, you know, constitutions that forbid government censorship and money printing and all these things. Because that's the most likely future that we're facing. All right. Thanks for listening. Interesting stuff to think about. I'm Mike Adams here, Brighteon.com. Take care.